podcasting from Nashville, Tennessee. This is Keep Asking, the podcast that helps you dig deeper and wider into the research providing insights into today's church and culture. I'm here today with my colleagues Scott McConnell and Casey Oliver to talk about who are evangelicals or evangelical definitions. Welcome back, guys.
Hey there. Glad to be back.
So there's tons of ways to approach this, and this is kind of a discussion that spans a lot of centuries and a wide range of views and opinions. We see, just as I was looking and perusing the situation, we see back Martin Luther using the term, the Greek version of the term, and evangelio, I think, during the Reformation to designate non-Catholics. Evangelical became a big term during the revivalism of the late 18th century, with Whitfield, Wesley, Edwards, and then Charles Finney in the early 1800s, and evangelists was being used. And then in the 20th century, we see it becoming popular almost as a reactionary term to the development of fundamentalism, which was reacting to modernism, and those who were trying to identify as evangelicals were trying to make themselves a little bit more distinct than the 1940s and 50s from those who were identifying as fundamentalists, because they felt like it was maybe not as thoughtful, or fundamentalism was beginning to be viewed as too anti-intellectual. Then we see in the 70s, it was becoming a bit more of I think one of the things I was reading talked about evangelicals voted in large numbers for Jimmy Carter, but by the time Reagan was running, evangelicals, the religious right was being developed, and it was kind of the beginning of that really cohesive, or politically viewed as a voting bloc. So we see that throughout time, you know, evangelicals can be viewed as, some view it as a set of theological beliefs, and they're self-defining. Others view it as they're observing or trying to categorize people and these groups that they're wanting to connect with, study, analyze from a sociological perspective or political perspective. So as researchers, when we're trying to sit down and look at evangelicals, what are some of the things that we try and do to define or understand it?
Well, we're really jumping into some of those same conversations that you were just describing, Lizette. Whereas everybody may not be a sociologist in that conversation, we are discussing our society, and oftentimes people are taking sides, and sometimes we're talking about political things. So we're talking about voting, and sometimes we're talking about religion. And so, actually, the different ways of identifying evangelicals sometimes fit with those conversations. You know, one definition might fit with one conversation better than it does another. And so that might be helpful as we go through these to be thinking about where it fits best and why.
Is it important to distinguish at this point the difference in when we're talking about someone for a survey for research purposes self-identify as evangelical, or they've been identified through a set of questions?
Yeah, and I mean, that's I think, you know, we'll dig into, you know, some of the pros and cons of doing both of those things. But when people are saying evangelical and you hear it quoted in a study or something like that, they might mean either of those things. So in terms of self-identify, just to kind of start there, a lot of times that will be asked in conjunction with born again. So it'll be, you know, do you consider yourself a evangelical or born-again Christian? And if they say yes, then you say, okay, well, those people are self-identified evangelicals or self-identified in that space. And that's, you know, again, that they're one of the pros probably to thinking about it that way is just the fact that then the people group themselves that way, as opposed to something maybe being a structure imposed to say, okay, well, this is really who evangelicals are or aren't. Well, now you just ask them when they said they were. So that feels like there's there's something that isn't a layer of artificiality to that, to grouping, you know, they grouped by themselves.
And their responses are often quite different. So depending on the topic we're talking about, anything affecting our society today, we often see significant differences between those who consider themselves evangelical and those who don't.
And I think kind of further going in that space, a lot of times, particularly with politics, you know, you'll see people talk about white evangelicals a lot. And when they're doing that, they're talking about self-identify, but then they're also saying self-identify and throw in, you know, that their ethnicity is white. And part of the reason why it might make sense in some contexts to do that is because then, you know, that really is closer to a block in terms of some of their opinions on, you know, some of those sociology questions, and then even some of the political questions. There's less, kind of variability maybe on that end of it. And also, a reason we might not want to always be talking in terms of self-identify is because there are a lot of people who share in that sort of rich theological context that Lizette was describing, that in an American context don't necessarily self-identify as evangelical. So in particular, we see that 70% of self-identified evangelicals are white, whereas, you know, in some of these other measures, if we're actually looking at people who hold those beliefs, you know, it might be in the 50 somewhere of those are white. So it might be that there's been, particularly among minorities, a resistance to that terminology, in particular as it's been more and more associated with maybe political movements but at the same time, then we're doing a worse job of describing people with that theological basis if we're talking in terms of self-identify.
So the more we're interested in theology or religious beliefs, the less we like the self-identify label, because it's bringing in other things.
So Scott, tell us about the process when we partnered with NAE to develop a list of questions that we ask frequently when we're wanting to identify evangelicals.
So as we looked at wanting to identify evangelicals based on what they actually believe, there's a lot of different questions we could pull from the Bible that are things that evangelicals agree on. And as we talked to sociologists, they kind of said, you know, there's a lot of teaching here that, and there's a lot of overlap across different types of evangelical churches in what is taught. But who says that whatever you're going to ask about is evangelical belief? And so that's where the partnership with the National Association of Evangelicals was important, because they're the largest group that really convenes evangelicals and often speaks for them. And so as we worked with theologians in their group and then tested those ideas in question form, we really gravitated toward four elements that have been honestly present and noticed by sociologists for quite some time. And they actually end up being somewhat similar to the Bevington Quadrilateral. And so the four questions, people are asked their level of agreement with: the Bible is the highest authority for what I believe. So they could strongly agree, somewhat disagree, or strongly disagree with that statement. They're also presented with three other statements. It's very important for me personally to encourage non-Christians to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then the last two relate to the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, that his death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin, and that only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior receive God's free gift of eternal salvation. So by asking people four pretty quick theological questions, if somebody strongly agrees with those four evangelical tenets, then we would label them as having evangelical beliefs. And so then, rather than it just being a label or something that they picked up by being associated with a group of people, it really is about belief.
Casey, so what's some of the data that we've picked up as we've done some research?
Yeah, so there's a few different things that are interesting, even in the overlap between those groups. So who has evangelical beliefs and who self-identifies as evangelical? And you can hear that there's some stringency to that definition of having evangelical beliefs, that they have to strongly agree with four different questions. But nevertheless, those who are self-identifying as evangelical, actually only 45% of those do have evangelical beliefs, as we sought to define it with the help of NAE, in terms of strongly agreeing with those questions. And among those with evangelical beliefs, 69% of them actually consider themselves evangelical. So there's a big group of people who strongly agree with all those statements who still wouldn't call themselves evangelical. Additionally, like we were talking about, there's definitely some more and more, you know, as people have heard that phrase, white evangelicals, a lot and talked about. I think, you know, we see, you know, some ethnicities being less comfortable with that label for themselves. I think Lecrae actually famously recently said something about how he wasn't comfortable with that. Among self-identified evangelicals, 70% are white non-Hispanic and 14% are black non-Hispanic. Among those with evangelical beliefs, as opposed to 70%, it's 58% are white non-Hispanic and 23% as opposed to 14% are black non-Hispanic. So you see it a very different, two very different groups demographically, despite still talking about something related to evangelicals.
And I think we're hearing and seeing a little bit more in the news, either opinion pieces or some groups gathering that are pushing back on the way the media is doing some of that clumping of white evangelical together in their descriptions, maybe even just forcing those, not synonyms isn't the word, but I mean, making them too closely correlated. So that's one of the things as we were just preparing for this, I saw, you know, the groups that were gathering to kind of identify and say, hey, you know, are we holding on to this term or do we want to bring some clarification to the media?
Well, and I think even just that phrase of white evangelical, or, you know, whether or not that's the way it's being asked or presented by researchers, but, you know, that people tie those things together. Again, in terms of the worldwide historic movement, that's kind of a nonsensical phrase, you know, for in Brazil right now, if they're talking about evangelicals, that, you know, white evangelicals, what would that, you know, what does that mean to, you know, that this is a grouping? You know, I think that there's something that maybe it makes sense for some people. And again, the American political context, especially to be talking about that, but that it sort of has divorced itself then from some of the origins of what it means to be evangelical.
And I think that we'll see as studies our own or other folks look more at the values of these voting blocks and who folks are self-identifying with, or I think we're going to see some distinctions spread out, those who are holding on to that term and those who are maybe letting go or moving away from that. Scott, you look like you're...
You know, at its core, the term evangelical is all about religion and specifically a portion of the Christian religion. It, you know, anytime you're beginning to add in another demographic such as ethnicity, you know, you're into a different space automatically. You're beyond just religion. And, you know, so in one sense, a lot of times when there's analysis that includes white evangelical, it's interesting that the other combinations are usually not even listed. But at the same time, you know, you've left the religious space because you're talking about two things at once. But to be fair, those who are doing it, they're seeing differences that are stronger or that wouldn't be there if they looked at evangelicals by themselves. And so, you know, it is true that among evangelicals, white evangelicals act very similar to each other. When we refer to them as a block, it doesn't mean that every one of them believes exactly the same thing or does the same thing, but a large portion of them do act in similar ways. And, you know, for sociologists and definitely for political pollsters, you're looking for those kinds of groups that all act the same way, and they're a big enough group that they start to add up over time. So it's not a method that we can get rid of at this point, because it still works in terms of counting people. But when we're having religious discussions, it doesn't seem to have as much place.
Well, any other thoughts, guys, before we wrap up?
You know, there is another way that we've traditionally cut and identified evangelicals, and that's by the denominations themselves that people attend. And so it's very much a historical path where among all the Protestant denominations, researchers have kind of categorized some churches as mainline, being more traditional churches historically, and then those that are evangelical in their teaching or in their origins, and so categorizing people based on the church they attend. Now, ethnicity pops back into this discussion again because the official academic definition, it's referred to as RELTRAD or religious traditions, actually brings ethnicity back into the equation. And for African Americans in certain denominations, they will be labeled, they will be placed into a third bucket called historically Black, even if their denomination itself was not a historically Black denomination. And there are real reasons for that historically, because certain denominations, including several of the Baptist denominations, there are large percentages. A lot of the churches that are African American are almost completely African American, and so they act a lot like a historically Black denominational church. And so, so there's kind of that third way of identifying folks, and it's a little more by behavior, which a church you're attending. And so in that sense, it gets at kind of another sociological level, which is actual behavior. But at the same time, it again is current. The current definition continues to blend a little bit of kind of history and ethnicity in there as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott. Well, thanks everyone for listening. If you have any questions, please tweet to us at SMCon, at StatsGuyCasey, and at Lizette Beard, or at Lifeway Research. Join us next time for another edition of Keep Asking. Keep asking, learn more, do better.